Mark Barlow from Telecom Genai. He's a technology strategist in Telecom New Zealand. He has 28 years of IT experience and currently fills the role of technology strategist services for Telecom and spends a lot of time looking out into the future. I seem to remember doing that myself at one stage. Mark's experience in telecommunications spans a large number of roles in both wireless and wired environments. And today he leads the internal IPv6 steering group within Telecom and represents Telecom on the New Zealand IPv6 steering group. So he's been of considerable assistance to us during our preparation for these events, and now he's going to take a participatory role as well. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much, Mark. Any second now, there'll be a presentation up there. I know this because I've already done it twice in the last couple of days. It's quite interesting how people's presentations sort of evolve. Number 13, I think it was. Lucky number, I was actually born on a Black Friday, so I like 13.
Here we go.
Whoa, there we go. We'll just start off with a bit of light humour, I think, because I've got some pretty grim news coming up. Anyway, enough of that. I should have bought Cisco stock when they IPO. I bet Tony did. Is he still around here? No, he's probably skipped off. Cool. So I'm part of a large steering group within Telecom that's directing the organisation down the IPv6 route. For us, it's a particularly interesting journey because we have lots of legacy stuff in our network and lots of issues pertaining around that. We are making good progress, though. So, and what my presentation will do is share the roadmapping process with you that we're in the process of still developing. This is definitely a journey, and we're available to share the journey with you, obviously, and in particular, Genai, our corporate division, is well positioned with her expertise to help you and assist you along that journey. Three sorts of people: those things who make things happen, those things who watch things happen, and those who wonder what's happened. With IPv6, you do not want to be in the last category. It's the most expensive way to plan an IPv6 transition, and I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. So we're going to talk about where Telecom and Genai are at with IPv6, the roadmapping process and how to look at the benefits and the transitioning options that are available. Making the business case. In some ways it's a tricky business case to make, in other ways it's quite easy. And also how Genai can help you with that process. So at the moment, we're pairing IPv6 across all our international links. We have our first IPv6 wholesale customer up and running and a number of others that are looking to connect with us shortly. I'm part of a group, as I said, that are steering us along our path. There's a couple of other members of the steering committee in the audience as well. And we're working with government, Internet, NZ and other industry players. And part of the most important thing of that is our friends from FX and a number of other vendors have pointed out is that as an industry we need to share the knowledge and the IP that we garner together, because this is to the benefit of the whole of New Zealand. It would be a very bad idea if any one of us kept things back for competitive advantage at this point, because it's very important as a country that we embrace IPv6 and look for the competitive advantages as a country that the new protocol offers us. As I said, core network migration is planning is underway, and we're also IPv6 enabling all our public facing services, most likely by the end of this year. Most of them look fairly straightforward. There's some issues around F5 load balancing on the web side, we believe, but we'll sort that out as well. The last steering group meeting, some of the guys in the network operations group decided they were going to pull out some hardware that they had lying around and set up some Teredo and 6-4 relays as well to stop that affect of our users who are trying to reach a Torito relay going through our network out to the outside world and then back again. So it is definitely a journey, and one I invite you all to jump on immediately and join us on the train and take the journey down the road. Otherwise, you know, there's definitely going to be some beating being done. I suspect there'll be CEOs with big sticks out whacking CIOs around if we stuff this one up. The key thing with IPv6 migration or transition is to work out what the specific business drivers are for your business. And for all of us, that will be different. Working out your own specific drivers and the reasons for you to move to IPv6, apart from address exhaustion, is quite key, because that will also steer you in the direction of which of the transition options you should take initially and down the path. And it is a roadmap. So it might be a case of using a tunneling option initially, but planning in 3 years that you'll do dual stack and so on. So look at the progression and how that will work with, for your organisation, and how you need to address the needs of your customers and how you can better address the needs of your customers through transitioning to IPv6. Some of the benefits, which have been mentioned many times before, is scalability. Having a massive address range to work with makes subnetting your network and setting up those services, plus also features like being able to have multiple V6 addresses on each device. You might have an IPv6 address on your phone that enables your exchange mail, and have a whole subnet of IPv6 just for the exchange mail. And another one for streaming media and so on. You can also make use of things like the flow labelling features in IPv6 to provide better QoS and so on. Security built in from day one. The important thing is to implement it and implement it in the right places. Real-time applications work a lot better. VoIP works fantastically over IPv6 because it's avoiding a lot of those netting issues and so on. There are a lot of auto-configuration advantages and plug-and-play abilities as well. One of the key things that's really close to our heart is mobility. And it is most likely, from what we're hearing from other carriers overseas, that the next generation network after our current one, which will be LTE, which we're looking at maybe 2011, 2012, will most likely be IPv6 only in the handset. Verizon has already said that the handsets they want, and they are deploying before anyone else in the world apart from maybe some of the Japanese deployments, and late this year, early 2010, they've already got trials running in Washington State. I was said at the other conference the other day that I thought it was at the end of the year that I was starting their trial, and then read online that they've actually already started trialing it. So they're pushing very hard with LTE. And they have asked their handset vendors to give them IPv6 only handsets. So if you think in a few years' time, there's going to be a whole lot of mobile people out there with an IPv6 handset, and they'll want the services that you want to provide them to be able to talk IPv6. By the way, our current mobile network that we've just launched, XT, all the core of that is IPv6 enabled. The handsets, there's virtually no IPv6 handsets available yet, but the core is waiting for the handsets, definitely. It's an optimised protocol. It takes a lot of the learnings from IPv4 and embeds those within the protocol. So it, as other people have said, Tony and so on earlier, it is a different protocol, and it's well worth getting your head around exactly what those differences mean. It improves addressing and routing, and it's definitely extensible. It is a difficult journey in some respects, but in other respects, it's also an enlightening journey. It makes you think about your networks and some of the issues you face now in different ways. And makes you think outside of the box, which is important. Otherwise, we'll all end up be on internet time. So, what are the transitioning options? And it's about which options best meet your business requirements, as I said before. And the rate at which you make those changes and how you do it. So as I said, you might start with a tunneling or a translation option and move towards a dual stack or a pure IPv6 option. It depends what suits you, how much legacy stuff you've got in your network. Dual stack is the panacea in some ways. It means that you'll support both IPv6 and IPv4 simultaneously. There are some benefits to just going pure IPv6, as that has been stated by other people as well, but dual stack definitely provides you with the best of both worlds as well. Translation is all about translating between one protocol and another. The gotcha to be aware of here is that some of the benefits of IPv6 will be lost in the translation, things like flow labeling and so on. So you need to be careful exactly what your translation, if you choose the translation path, exactly what you're losing through doing that or what you're gaining. And there's a number of different translation options depending on where in the stack you want to do that, whether you want to do it at the API level or the, you know, the transport level and so on. And there are a variety of different options, and I'd encourage you to go and read up on all of them. I'm not going to provide you with all the details here today because it would take too long. Tunneling is the other major transition option, and a lot of people have mentioned that out of the box, Vista and Windows 7 support IPv6, and they use Teredo as their method for doing tunneling. It's quite interesting that some of these devices will actually be tunneling out of your networks now, even though you don't know it. So it's a good idea to start configuring your firewalls to actually see that traffic and get a handle on it. And again, many different options for how you tunnel. 6-to-4, 6-over-4, intra-site. There's a number of different options available. It's quite interesting, but you know, it's not necessarily a wrong or a right way to do this journey. It's really, again, up to your business drivers. And that's why I keep on repeating myself. Think about what the key things are in terms of your own business. Part of the process is definitely to get in an inventory and audit your current environment, and that's something we're heavily involved with in Telecom at the moment. Some of the key things to watch out for, I mean, at the hardware layer, you've got to look at memory and ensure your routers have enough memory to do dual stack and things like that, the software versions, the firmwares. What does IPv6 compatibility actually mean? And it's amazing what vendors will try and flog you that they say is compatible. So dig into the details and make sure that in your RFPs you're stipulating that they have to have full compatibility with all the aspects of IPv6, and if not, they have to be stated. That's a good way of actually drawing the vendors out behind their firewalls as such. Applications is particularly critical. We're looking at things like our OSS applications, and not only them working with an IPv6 environment, but also where you're storing details around customers or users, where you're storing an IPv4 number in an application. Can that application also store an IPv6 number? Training and processes, and it's been reiterated by other people how important training really is. It's very key. Build the business case. A lot of the business case you can take care of with your standard upgrade process. So you're buying new equipment and upgrading equipment all the time. Make it a policy of the company that when you buy new equipment that it's IPv6 compatible. And a lot of the costs of moving to IPv6 can potentially be put into those standard upgrades as part of your roadmap, as part of moving down it. The most basic driver is address exhaustion, and you've got to work out what is your drop dead date. You know, how much address space do we have left, and when are we going to be facing the crunch, so to speak. And even if you don't face a crunch in the near future, still build a roadmap of how you're going to move to IPv6. If you're an exporter, this is an ASAP thing, because there's already people in China and India and some Korea and other countries who are on IPv6 only. Sure, there's translation options so they can still talk to the IPv4 world, but not everything will work across those translation options. So it's important that you think about who your customers are and include them in your planning. GNI can help. We've got a range of leading experts both around IPv6 and doing these planning and scenario building processes. And we can provide you with the information and tools to help you move down this road. Come and talk to us about how we can help you with sorting all these issues out. There's a GNI stand out there today. You can go and have a look at our wonderful new XT mobiles and book a time to go and talk to your account manager. If you don't have an account manager, I'm sure they'll be happy to hook you up with one. So in summary, this is the next generation plumbing, and it's important we book the plumber in because he's going to be a busy boy in a year or two. There's plenty of reasons to make the jump. Work out what your reasons, specific reasons are, because it's different for everyone generally. It'll be a combination of factors, your business plan. Talk to your GNI account manager today. And remember, it's not a good idea to be still sitting around thinking about doing a roadmap in a year or two, because that's going to be starting to get very much too late. I think that should be the end of my presentation, because we're probably all feeling much over PowerPoint at this point. Thank you very much.